Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 11th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
And the riot police clashed with protesting MDC youth today as they demanded the immediate release of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted in Glenview High Density Suburb Monday.
Attorney Charles Kwaramba says the search continues for Itai Dzamara as efforts to find him have so far not yielded fruit.
As of now, I can tell you that we have not found him. We don't know where he is. We are working hard with the relatives to find him.
And the Zimbabwe Bank and Allied Workers Union petitions Parliament over continuing bank closures that have seen more than 1,200 workers losing their jobs since last year.
The search goes on for pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara, who was abducted from Glenview High Density Suburb in Harare Monday, leading to events today where anti-riot police clashed with MDCT youths, demanding the immediate release of the former journalist. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
More than 300 MDCT youths marched on Parliament from their party's Harvest House headquarters today, demanding the release of Itai Dzamara. The protesters, who were carrying placards inscribed with various messages criticizing Dzamara's abduction, told ZANU-PF and opposition legislators making their way into the house for today's deliberations that they would not leave the streets until the activist was released. Baton-wielding police details started assaulting the protesters when they were leaving Parliament building, who retaliated with stones and other objects. Studio 7 witnessed some of the police officers running away from the youths who were charging on them, while some of the officers' uniforms were blood-stained. Dzamara last year petitioned President Robert Mugabe to resign for allegedly failing to run the country democratically and pushing Zimbabwe's economy into the abyss. MDCT National Youth Chairperson Happy Mochidziva, who led today's protest, said President Mugabe and his two deputies, Emerson Mnangagwa and Pelekezela Mpoko, were responsible for Dzamara's abduction and called on them to release him.
You know, Itai Dzamara is one of the activists. We have been in the streets demanding for better livelihoods of people. And these government officials, the state and the ministers of Home Affairs, we know recently they beat Itai Dzamara at Africa Unity Square, and now he has been kidnapped. We actually know that they are the ones who are responsible for this kidnap, and they have to bring back Itai Dzamara.
Another protester, James Chidakwa, said Zamara's alleged kidnapping has left many Zimbabweans in shock and fear of the unknown.
We see that there is a political crisis in this country. ZANU-PF are fighting each other, and they want to divert their attention from their in-house to innocent civilians in the streets. So I'm saying the most important thing, that's as Zimbabweans, we should keep fighting this system to make sure that we have change of government in this country.
Chidziva told Studio 7 that they did not assault the police officers, claiming that the protesting MDCT youths were the victims of police brutality.
MDC youth or Zimbabwean youth, we are non-violent, and the only thing that happened that time was that these police, they are not trained for any riotous act. That's why they just come in and started beating up youth. They even beat me. This end of mine is itching right now, but I was just walking, and we didn't revenge. We kept on walking because we have already delivered our message, that oral message that we are delivering to the parliamentarians.
Meanwhile, police spokesperson Charity Charamba confirmed that the officers were assaulted by the youth. She said Zimbabweans should promote peace and not target police officers. Mrs. Charamba also called on the people to give police time to investigate Dzamara's alleged abduction, following a report that was filed by his wife yesterday. Oh, no. Meanwhile, heavily armed police details barricaded the MDCT headquarters following the fracas at Parliament. The U.S. Embassy in Harare today released a statement over Zamara's alleged abduction. The statement urged authorities to ensure that Zamara's rights, as enshrined in the Constitution, are honored. Amnesty International, the Zimbabwe Peace Project, the Human Rights NGO Forum, and the European Union also expressed concern about Zamara's fate. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, Zamara's whereabouts remain unknown despite mounting pressure for his release. Lawmakers traded barbs in Parliament today as MDCT lawmakers demanded answers on Zamara's whereabouts from their ZANU-PF colleagues. Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who is also the Justice Minister and Leader of the House, responded to the MDCT saying he was equally concerned by Zamara's alleged forced disappearance. There were unconfirmed reports that Zamara was being held at Harare Central Police Station, but lawmaker Charles Kwaramba told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that their client is not at the said police station.
The lawyers were dispatched to Central Police Station Law and Order Section to find out and verify. And when they got there, they were informed that Zamara is in fact not there and that the police are actually looking for him as well. So as of now, I can tell you that we have not found him. We don't know where he is. We are working hard with the relatives to find him. And we are hopeful that we'll find him soon.
Do the police have a specific area where they are looking for him? Did they say they've talked to other security agents?
No, we didn't go as far as discuss that. They said, no, look, they are also looking to interview other people, but they haven't indicated who they have talked to, where they have gone, but they said they are doing their job as the police. We're still trying to find out on our own. The chamber application that we filed last night will be out on Friday, I think. So we are working on that channel, but also we are trying to keep our ears on the ground and our eyes wide open so that we try to find it.
But was this not an urgent matter? Why should it be held on Friday when someone was abducted on Monday? Do you know?
You know, we filed it very late yesterday. So today we're also trying to run around, try to save it at the relevant respondents. We have no control over how the judges set matters down. We can only ask and request matters to be set down. So this is what I can only tell you for now.
That was lawyer Charles Kwaramba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, MDC officials are marooned inside the MDC headquarters Harvest House, with over 50 armed police officers blocking them from leaving. A message from Morgan Tsvangirai spokesperson Luke Tamborinyuka reads, "I'm currently marooned inside the Harvest House, the MDC headquarters. An armored police vehicle with some 40 or so policemen is right at the entrance, while about 50 armed police are at the back of the building. There are about 12 of us still inside the building. They are saying they want a police helmet and a baton without explaining where, how, and why those things should be inside the building. When I tried to go out, about 10 armed riot police charged towards me, saying no one will go out of the building without the police getting their helmet and baton," cried the beloved country under the AU and SADC chair. That was Luke Tamborinyuka writing on his Facebook page. But right now, we have our reporter Thomas Chiripasi, who is outside the besieged Harvest House. Thomas, set the scene and tell us what's going on.
Right now, I am a few meters away from the Harvest House building, which is the headquarters of the MDC, and there are quite a number of police officers patrolling around the building. Apparently, people who were passing by a few minutes ago were told to stop, and they were searched by the officers, and they were saying that they want a helmet and a baton stick that was confiscated by the MDCT youth during the fracas that happened in the city center in the afternoon. But as I am speaking right now, they have not recovered anything, and they continue to harass people who are passing through the MDCT headquarters.
We understand there are some 12 people inside the building. Are you aware of that? Have they left the building?
Well, the building, the building's entrance is locked, but I can see the lights in the building are on, and I can see people within the building, but I cannot tell who exactly is in the building. Of course, I have heard that Mr. Tsvangirai's spokesperson, Luke Tamborinyoka, is one of them, but I'm not too sure who else is in the building, but there are quite a number of people within the building that I can see from where I'm standing right now.
Did you manage to count as to how many police officers are barricading the office?
Well, there are about 40 that I have seen in the front of the building, that is on the building adjacent to the main entrance. And there are also quite a number of officers at the sanitary lane, that is at the back alley of the MDCT headquarters, but it's dark. I cannot really do a head count of them.
And have you heard if there were any arrests?
Well, the police have not yet arrested anyone, according to the people I spoke to who managed to escape from the building. But I'm told that they are eager to interview the leaders of the youth assembly and the organizing department. Earlier on, we got a statement from a national executive member, Job Scala, who posted on his Facebook wall that the police were keen to interview him. But nonetheless, there is no confirmation of any arrest thus far.
Okay, thanks a lot, Thomas. Be safe.
You are welcome.
That was Thomas Chiripasi, our correspondent in Harare.
Manicaland Provincial Minister Mandi Chimene has decreed that all Mutare motorists and others passing through the mountainous city should have to pay $1 each and get a sticker with their face to gain the right of passage through the city. This, she says, will help the city rehabilitate its crumbling road network. Correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has the story.
Ms. Chimene declared this while leading efforts to fill potholes on the city's roads that the money raised from the initiative would be used to rehabilitate Mutare's road network. The government has been rehabilitating major roads in the country, but most city councils have been struggling to raise revenues to improve their roads. The provincial minister said those who fail to heed a call for a dollar each per sticker will not be allowed to drive through or in the city.
When our roads go bad, it is our responsibility as the community to rehabilitate them. The time is coming when the minister will say, no sticker, no driving.
Chimene, regarded by many in the city as a controversial politician, said every motorist should play a role in making sure the city's roads are in good shape. Some residents are criticizing the move to put a face on the sticker, saying it would have been better to put the city's landmarks like the Christmas pass on it. But she insists she is embarking on the initiative to help the city of Mutare regain its lost glory of being the cleanest and best-run city in the country. Mutare, the provincial minister said, is the gateway to the seaport of Beira in Mozambique and a window to the country for tourists arriving from Zimbabwe's eastern border neighbors and from South Africa, so its roads should be in perfect condition. But the diktat has not gone unchallenged, as Mutare motorists have challenged the saying the move has to be made voluntary, not mandatory. Some motorists told Studio 7 that Chimene's directive is illegal. They charged that they already pay road tolls to the Zimbabwe National Road Agency, ZINARA, which they said should use money raised from toll gates rehabilitate the country's roads. Motorist and resident Ronald Murawa says financially squeezed citizens who resist Chimene's initiative.
What the Honorable Minister should do, should first go to ZINARA and tell them to repair the roads, or should allocate more money to Mutare City Council so that they rehabilitate the roads, not to force people to pay the dollar. She should also confront ZINARA to allocate City Council the money to repair the roads.
Another motorist, Felix Mumbure, says Chimene's move is noble, but as it should, however, not be forced down people's throats.
It's a bold initiative to show that she's proactive on issues of development and road rehabilitation. However, accountability is not there, which might wind up to the old situation where people will pay money but the funds will not be realized at the end of the day.
A Mutare lawyer who requested to remain unnamed said it would be illegal for Chimene to enforce the road toll regardless of the good intentions that may be behind the initiative. The lawyer said the road tax or toll can only be a voluntary payment by willing motorists, adding it cannot be imposed on every road user. Chimene says her aim is to have a port of free Mutare as soon as possible through, quote, whatever means possible, unquote. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Thanks, Lloyd. As part of his countrywide Meet the People tour, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai today toured Bulawayo City Council-initiated projects and said rampant company closures and unemployment in the city warranted hard work by the local authority to attract investors. The party's organizing secretary, Abednego Bebe, says the MDCT leader, who received a hero's welcome in the city, is expected to attend various meetings with party members tomorrow and Friday and wind up his visit Saturday with a belated Women's Day celebrations at Stanley Square. Bebe tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga there was a stampede to welcome Tsvangirai in the city and his party had to whisk him away to safety before he could interact with the vendors.
When people saw our president, they were so overwhelmed and people started whistling, shouting, Save, Save, Save. We could not even walk 400 meters and we had to whisk the president away to safety because we realized that people were going to be stepping on people's tomatoes and the wares that we're selling.
What will he be doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow he is going to be seeing our district structures. Three constituencies are meeting in one venue. Friday afternoon, he will be meeting the provincial council, and then on Saturday, he is going to be finishing with the Women's Day that was moved forward from Harare to Bulawayo.
Did all the councillors turn up for the meeting?
Well, obviously, there are councillors that went to renewal. We don't hide that. They will be befallen by what has actually hit their MPs. There were 21 councillors there that I saw in the chambers. The mayor was not present. Why? Because he was attending a function at the Bulawayo Range. And in the afternoon when we started the really tour, the mayor was there.
That was Abednego Bebe, MDCT Organizing Secretary, on the line from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Studio 7's Gibbs Dube looks at the Zimbabwe diaspora community.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Casualties are reported from an explosion in the Nigerian city of Maiduguri 3 days after bomb blasts there killed more than 50 people.
U.S. military officials say rescuers have found human remains in the search for an army helicopter that crashed off the Florida coast with 11 soldiers on board.
Key members of U.S. President Barack Obama's national security team are due to testify today as a Senate committee holds a hearing on his request to use force against Islamic State militants.
Some Zimbabweans living outside the country say it is unlikely that most of them will go back home soon due to the current harsh social, economic and political environment in the country. They argue that the government has not even drafted a plan of action for constructive engagement with its citizens living in the diaspora. Some Zimbabweans living in South Africa and other nations drafted a diaspora engagement document which is currently gathering dust in Harare. Suggestions were made in the document for the government to observe the rule of law and allow its citizens in the diaspora to vote in national elections, among many other issues. In turn, Zimbabweans living outside the country were expected to help in reviving the nation's economy. For a perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with human rights activist Daniel Molokele and ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma. Molokele says ZANU-PF is blocking any form of constructive engagement with the government.
We feel disappointed that we are not able to participate in the democratic issues of governance in Zimbabwe, because most Zimbabweans living outside the country are social and economic refugees, but they would really want to be part of the situation in Zimbabwe and exercise their political and civil rights.
Mr. Chuma, do you think that there could be some way in which Zimbabweans living in the diaspora can be actually incorporated into what is happening in Zimbabwe in terms of politics, you know, and other issues?
Zimbabwe is for all Zimbabweans. And so from that point, it should be understood that never at one point has any Zimbabwean been denied any sort of a right to participate in the economical or political development of their country. So they are all still free to come back here into Zimbabwe, and we all put our heads together and uplift our country, because we only but have one country. They are always welcome to come back here. We always look forward to working with them for the betterment of Zimbabwe.
Mr. Molokele, do you think that you feel free to participate in these democratic processes?
I think the first and important thing, that if you are a government and you are interested in Zimbabweans to participate back home, you should consider their rights in terms of their citizenship, in terms of their ability to travel to and from Zimbabwe without risk of security. And most importantly, we should consider the fact that where the countries where they live in, they are not respected by the law enforcement agents, like here in South Africa. The policies of the countries that they live in are very hostile. So it's important for the government of Zimbabwe to be involved in the situation, even in the countries where the Zimbabweans are. I think most importantly, Zimbabwe should have a clear document called Zimbabwe Diaspora Policy that allows Zimbabweans outside the country to engage government in clear terms on specific issues. So we do not have that policy document to guide. So that is something that the government should work on right now.
Mr. Chuma, you are in ZANU-PF, in the ruling party. Do you think that the government can be willing to actually engage the diaspora and even, you know, getting to the extent of these voting rights that maybe they need?
Our government, our party, is very concerned about the people that are out there. We know they went out there for different reasons. Even some of them even claim that by being here, they fear that they'll be killed. But you ask yourself, killed by who and for what? What rule they've done? The people that are even strong in the opposition stay here. Look at people like Tsvangirai, look at people like Ratinai Biti and stuff like that. They're all here in Zimbabwe. They're not being killed at all. So why would somebody who's not even known in the political circles, who's not even known even in the social circles, run away and say they are going to be killed? By who? For what? You see, it's ways of people trying to run away, or it's ways of people trying to seek greener pasture somewhere and then claim asylum. We want these people to come back, and we'll welcome them with open arms, because they are part of Zimbabwe anyway. They are the owners of Zimbabwe as well.
Mr. Molokele, are you happy with that?
I think he needs to answer the question, because I know I worked with the all-inclusive government a few years ago in 2009 to engage them with regards to the Zimbabwe diaspora policy document. And the whole thing died because of stiff opposition from ZANU-PF. I don't expect any normal government to assume that people living outside the country can just leave the countries where they are and just come tomorrow. But what is important is that there should be a policy framework that allows the government to engage Zimbabweans, because to return home is in different capacities. So at the end of the day, the government of Zimbabwe is responsible in terms of consulting all the relevant stakeholders, including Zimbabwean organizations outside the country, to come up with a policy document that clearly explains how they are willing to work with Zimbabweans outside the country. It is not an option. It is something that is good for the country.
And so if ever there's any policy that, my learned colleague was talking about, they are free to go in and share it with the ambassador there or the other staffers that are there at the embassy. And we even want to actually earn some earnings as a country from them, because there must be some taxes that come from them as well.
That was ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. You also heard from human rights activist Daniel Molokele speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. The Zimbabwe Bank and Allied Workers Union, ZIBAU, today petitioned Parliament over the continuing bank closures that have seen more than 1,200 workers losing their jobs. We caught up with ZIBAU Secretary General Peter Mutasa, who told us that the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe is responsible for the bank collapses.
We intended last week to demonstrate and petition both the Reserve Bank and the Parliament of Zimbabwe in relation to this issue of uncontrolled bank closures. What we have observed is that since 1996, when we recorded our first bank closure in Zimbabwe, no action seems to have been taken to prevent future occurrences. And now, from 2011 to 2015, we have witnessed 9 banks closing and causing 1,222 job losses. But apart from these job losses, a lot of depositors have lost their hard-earned savings. So we are concerned as the union that it appears, besides knowing and seeing that there's a general trend in the causes of these bank failures, which can be traced to poor corporate governance and moral hazard, and also weak and ineffective regulatory and supervisory framework as the main causes, these two authorities seem to have not done anything to address the issue.
That was Zimbabwe Bank and Allied Workers Union Secretary General Peter Mutasa in Harare.
Matabeleland South member lawmaker Priscilla Msiaira Mbwimushonga today demanded answers from Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa in Parliament on the arrest and victimization of Matobo villagers over their alleged interference in operations at Maleme Ranch, where they were recently kicked out to make way for Central Intelligence Agent Rodney Mashingaitse. Mr. Mnangagwa professed ignorance over the matter and asked Msiaira Mbwimushonga to detail her case in writing. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached Msiaira Mbwimushonga for more.
If you go into this new constitution that we adopted, it is clear under Section 18, Clause 2, that the resources, natural resources of an area should benefit those locals that are in that particular area. The reason why that was put in the constitution is that many of the people that were spoken to, and these were not just people who were coming from Matabeleland, even particularly those that were coming from Manicaland, where we have got all of these mines and all of these diamonds, were complaining that those resources are not necessarily benefiting their communities. And I therefore raised the issue of Maleme in the context of saying we have a constitutional provision that says the first priority, the first people that should get to those resources are the local people in that area. And that, therefore, what is happening is actually a violation of what we ourselves put in the constitution.
In terms of livelihoods, what do these removals mean for these villagers?
I've said they're impoverishing a community. And what is said about it is that, again, in that same constitution, we did recognize the fact that there are certain regions that have been marginalized before. And that what we should be doing is to make sure that we try and get those communities to get better, so that they move from where they were. By doing what we are doing right now, we are doing exactly the opposite.
That was Matabeleland South lawmaker Priscilla Msiaira Mbwimushonga on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7's live talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about Izai Zamara's forced disappearance.
And now to recap today's top stories.
And the riot police clashed with protesting MDC youths today as they demanded the immediate release of pro-democracy activist Itai Zamara, who was allegedly abducted in Glenview high-density suburb Monday.
And the Zimbabwe Bank and Allied Workers Union petitions Parliament over continuing bank closures that have seen more than 1,200 workers losing their jobs since last year.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo and Sthandekile Mhlanga. This is Chris Gande in Washington. Good night.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.